You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff. This is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil, and it's a little bit of an empty studio today. I'm here with Ken. How are you, Ken?
You calling me empty?
Inside, only inside.
Okay, that's fair. Well, good morning, Neil. How are you doing?
Good morning to you. I'm doing well, drinking coffee out of my Trejo's coffee mug from Los Angeles.
And I believe I have one of your Gilmore Girls. Is this Gilmore?
That is Luke's Diner, that's correct.
All right, that's good for me. We are without Jeff today. Mm-hmm. So Jeff just bought a house, and he's, I guess, getting everything ready in there, so he couldn't be bothered. Couldn't be bothered today.
Couldn't be bothered to show up.
So I just want to sincerely apologize to our guests, but know this, he will be severely reprimanded, so don't worry.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to those people from Insidious and get one of those demons to go hang out with him his house.
He'll be standing in front of the Council of Three, as I call me and you and Matt. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good. You know, it's funny, you're drinking from your Trejo's cup. I actually walked past the coffee shop today, and I just asked if Danny was in, and there was a man named Danny, and I'm like, oh, never mind, this joke went poorly. And then
not that one.
It wasn't a gruff-looking man who was looking at you angrily?
No, I'm sure he was at his taco stand, actually. He has so many different places here in Los Angeles. A bit of a mogul.
I will say, I was at a Trejo's Tacos with our mutual friend Phil, and Phil asked the waiter, he's like, oh, is Danny ever here? Expecting him to be like, no, it's just his name on the... He's like, yeah, he's here all the time in the kitchen hanging out, and he's really nice. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Doing dishes, just like helping out, running drinks.
Now, we have some special guests here, and we're going to introduce them in just one second. But Ken, you and I are maybe a little tired, but we had a strange activity last night that we engaged in together.
We're going to talk about that?
Or about the other activity.
Oh, okay.
Not that one.
Yeah. We got together with a couple friends and watched the Kill Bill movies back to back. And I presented a special game that I called Feats of Strength, spelled feet. And we just counted every foot shot in the Kill Bill, and all the friends had a number guess of how many total foot shots. And I believe there were 67 that I had adjudicated as intentional foot shots.
Collectively, yep, in both movies.
Yeah. And Neil won.
I guessed there was going to be 27 feet shots in just the first movie alone. I believe there was 31.
I think we ended up with 37, but you had the highest guess.
I had the highest guess because I said I knew there's going to be a lot, and there was.
Your greatest fear came true.
It did, actually, and I had to even focus more on feet, which was just my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about feet. Let's talk about the special guest we have here, because before we started, we found out there is a huge Chicago connection today, which is really awesome. So our first guest is going to be a competitor today. He is in Chicago, just like us. He's an Oakland 5 supporter on Patreon, and that's Chris Grubbs. How's it going, Chris?
Very good. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and anything else you'd like to talk about today.
All right. My name's Chris. I live in Chicago around the Avondale neighborhood, for those that know the city. Live here with my wife and a 17-year-old cat. I'm a software developer, play guitar. I like to cook.
That's an old cat.
Like trivia, all that stuff. Yeah, that's an old cat. He's doing good, though. He's spry. He's for his age, he still makes trouble.
And what's your cat's name?
Oh, that's Bruce.
Love it. Name Bruce. And I do want to say, and this is a compliment of the highest order, you, to me, at least this morning, over the internet, are the spitting image of actor Vincent Cassel, famed French actor.
Mm. I see it.
You know, I haven't gotten that before. I'm gonna have to remember that.
So anytime you're gonna be robbing huge establishments of jewels and whatnot and doing capoeira with lasers, just let me know. I'll be there to support you.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Chris is going to be competing today with Matt, so they're going to figure out a team name. But we have to have a host, and we have someone who's returning to the show and has some great stories, actually, about moving and other great things coming up in the near future. But she's coming to us from North Dakota, and that is Kenya Hitchens. How are you, Kenya?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Let's hear about your new move, where you're at, and what you've been up to since we've last had you on the show.
Well, when I was last on the show, I was in St. Louis, Missouri. Since then, I have moved to Grand Forks, North Dakota. I am having a wedding next year with my partner, the reason that I moved here in the first place. Basically, there's not much to do here in North Dakota, but should you find yourself here under unfortunate circumstances, which is the only reason anyone ever finds himself here, I'll be more than happy to at least show you around. The whole tour will take about 10 minutes.
Okay, well, I'll give you one thing to do, and that is host today's game. We surely appreciate that. Chris is going to be partnering up with Matt, and I'm going to be with Neil, but first, we need to listen to the rules.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
We must the crop.
All right, Kenya, I hope that rules reading occupied a little bit of your time. And now we're on to the game. But first, team names.
Yeah, so I suppose we played the game last night. So, Ken, how about we be the feats of strength?
Sounds good.
It reminds me that there is a Festivus for the rest of us. I think we're going to be the airing of grievances because I got a lot of problems with all of you and you're going to listen to me.
Awesome. So we got our teams. Let's get to the game. Kenya, feel free to kick it off.
All right. Sounds good. Good luck, guys. Here we go. Your first question. This word from the Greek words for all and people can be traced back to the 1660s. Unfortunately, examples of its meaning can be found all throughout history, including 14th century Afro-Eurasia and more modern examples in 1918 and 2020 worldwide.
All right, we'll go ahead and lock in on this one. Not too sure on the answer, but we'll guess.
Okay, so they don't think they know, but the time frames make me think. So it's the 1600s, I think, would be right around the
bubonic.
Black Plague. Yeah, and then you got the Spanish flu and then COVID. So
yeah,
just
I feel pretty good about
sense.
Yeah, because democracy has demos. I think that's the Greek word for people. I feel like pandemic is going to be the way to go.
All right, then we're going to lock in with pandemic.
Duh.
Wow, what a great reasoning there. I did not think about that.
Yeah, we had no idea. So I was like, I know Vox Populi means voice of the people. So I said Populi, populist. So we said populist.
Okay. And the examples in the question did reference back to the Black Plague or the Black Death in the 1300s, as well as the Spanish flu in 1918 and COVID-19 in 2020. The word is pandemic, with pan meaning all and demic meaning people.
I see.
Wow. Great question.
All right. Your second question. The Paleolithic, Mesolithic, and Neolithic are the three subdivisions of what prehistoric age, which saw early humans use tools and begin farming and food production?
All right, we'll go ahead and lock in on this one.
All right, so you're locked in, and Chris, you said you had a couple of thoughts on this one.
Yeah, so you hear about the Bronze Age, the Iron Age. If it's when they were using tools, makes me think it might be one of the metals. If I recall, I think the Bronze Age is before the Iron Age. I think bronze is like a more primitive material, I want to say.
What's Age of Empires telling you?
Well, I was thinking completely different. I was thinking somewhere, if this was like the Mesozoic era, but that wouldn't make sense if it was part of it. Because this is like Triassic and Jurassic and all that stuff is something that I know that I can look up and probably learn in like a day's worth of time, but I just never do it. But I like where you're going with that. I think the Bronze Age is a good guess.
So Ken, you wrote down 1990s rhinoplastic era, but I don't think that's
don't
the right
think
direction.
I saw that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we wrote down Mesozoic and Cretaceous, and we're going with Mesozoic.
Unfortunately, no points here. This is actually the Stone Age.
That makes a lot of sense.
We're overthinking today.
We are. These are greatly worded questions, and we're like, well, let's go to every avenue of our brain, and it's right in front of us.
Yeah. I'm in a fugue state right now. Let's get question three, see how we do.
All right. Question three. Completed in 1972, the Pyramid Center was the tallest building in San Francisco until 2018 and the tallest skyscraper west of Chicago for 2 years. Much like the Sears Tower in Chicago, this building's branded name refers to a large holding company who once had their headquarters there. What is the name of this company, founded in 1928 as a holding company for Bank of America?
So I recently was watching some travel shows, one that happened to be in San Francisco, and it was very interesting. They were talking about the earthquake there and how the person that really built up the city again and made it great was an immigrant who came in there and then ended up starting Bank of America, if I remember. But I do remember a couple names after looking through San Francisco, so I'm just going to go with one of them, and we'll see if it's good.
Chris, I don't know. I have literally no idea. I know that they built the Oracle around that time. I don't know if Oracle is. I think it's too new to be the answer there. Do you have any ideas?
I'm wrecking my brain right now. The first thing that came to mind was Wells Fargo, but that's not going to be it. Because I know they've got like a West Coast basis, but like they've got like a Stagecoach something or other in their branding. I think that's how they started. It's something to do with like, I don't know,
that
something
sounds
used
familiar.
To do Stagecoaches.
Well, let's go with the Stagecoach answer and go Wells Fargo.
Okay, so my reasoning on this one was the travel show, but also when I used to walk to work in the city, there was a big building with this company name on it, and I didn't know what they did, and I remember looking them up and saw that they had a huge building in San Francisco, so I'm hoping this is it, and we went with Salesforce.
Okay, well, once again, unfortunately, no points awarded. Well, Wells Fargo dates all the way back to 1852, by the way. Mm. But this company is called Transamerica.
Oh.
And the building is known as the Transamerica Pyramid. All right, question number four. Speaking of pyramids, name the 30-story pyramid-shaped casino on the Las Vegas Strip that has the largest atrium in the world by volume. Current house acts there include the Blue Man Group and Carrot Top.
Now you're speaking our language.
Yeah, finally. We'd have to pull a mind freak to get this answer correct. So we'll lock in over here.
Chris, do you
Vegas
do you know
isn't
this
my
one?
Strong suit, but I mean, I know there's isn't there something called the Luxor?
There is a Luxor. I don't think that one. Well, I think, well, yeah, is that because I think it's the MGM. Is Luxor an MGM pyramid or casino? I think.
I just thought of it because of Egypt, but I'm thinking about pictures of the MGM, like when there's like an aerial view of like when there's something going on there, and I think it is pyramid shaped.
Yeah, I think actually, I think they might be the same thing we're talking about. So, I think MGM owns the Luxor, but I think that's the answer we're looking for. So we'll go with Luxor.
Yep, we went with the Luxor.
And points all around. It is Luxor. Good job.
On Sweet. The board.
All right. Question number five. According to Merriam-Webster, this word can mean to locate and hold a desired object in a detector, to come to have as a new or added characteristic, trait, or ability, or to come into possession or control of.
I have a guess, and Ken reluctantly agrees, so we're going to go with our guess and lock in.
I'm thinking like there's like acquire or inherit or develop. The detector is getting me. Like, it feels like such a specific word choice, and I don't get it.
Like, yeah.
Like a metal detector?
I have no idea. You said inherit. I kind of like that, but I don't think it fits all of the definitions. I think inherit is going to be our guess here.
All right.
Inherit is a good guess. We mentioned one that you mentioned yourself, and we went with acquire.
And unfortunately, you should have stuck with acquire. Ah. That is the correct answer.
School off the gut sometimes works.
Yeah, sometimes it does. All right. After five questions, it looks like we're all tied up at 20. So at least we're on the board. They've been great questions so far. And now we have to see if we can create some separation.
All right. Question number six. Fortunate by Maxwell and What Would You Do by City High were two hits featured on the soundtrack to this 1999 buddy comedy drama film starring Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence in their second cinematic pairing.
We can lock in over here.
Oh man, I haven't thought about City High in at least 2 to 3 months. It's Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence, right? Was this Blue Streak? Does that sound familiar?
I like the sound of that. That's definitely a movie that I think was a buddy movie. It's not Double Team.
And I know it's a Martin Lawrence movie too, for sure. I think that's the right time period. Are you good with Blue Streak?
Yeah, for sure. That's good for me.
Okay. Locked in.
I love Blue Streak, especially Martin Lawrence making Luke Wilson go believe that. But we're going to go with a different movie, one that I believe the soundtrack also had Destiny's Child on it, and we're going to say Life.
And one of the teams here is correct. It is, in fact, Life.
Mm.
I saw that in the theater.
The once previously referenced on the podcast, Life, which none of us had heard of, except for Neil.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
All right. Question number seven. What word of indigenous origin is the name of the two-part season 6 episode of The Office in which Jim and Pam get married? This word also titles a 1953 film noir starring Marilyn Monroe and is the first word in the name of the oldest state park in the U.S.
We can lock in on this one.
Okay. I'm trying to get at it from the noir. You got any ideas here?
So they get married. Yeah, they get married at Niagara Falls. So my guess would be the word is Niagara.
And yeah, it's definitely an indigenous word.
Yeah, so I think we can lock in with Niagara.
Okay.
Yep, we also said Niagara.
And points all around, it is Niagara.
Yay.
I don't know anything about The Office.
All right, question number eight. Dubbed the Venice of the North, this city was founded by a great ruler in 1703. Home of architectural gems like the Admiralty, the Winter Palace, the Marble Palace, and the Hermitage, the historic core of this site was dubbed a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1990.
I think I got a pretty good guess for this, Matt.
I think I have it.
Yeah, let me say what I think before you poison my mind.
Okay.
Two things are jumping out to me. The great ruler and also the Hermitage. I think that was in Russia, right? And I think we're talking St. Petersburg? Is that crazy? What are you thinking?
So Venice is known for their canals, their water, and the boat travel. And from the travel shows I've been watching, a huge aspect of those boat travels are in Amsterdam because people get by on the water. And I believe Amsterdam is called Venice of the North because there's a million boats that people are in, like traveling through the city, like in the canals.
I'm like 50-50, so
It's totally up to you. I mean, I'll trust you. I know you're Zen Ken, so
let's go. Yeah, I'm out of it today, so yeah. Let's go with your guess.
Okay, we'll lock in with Amsterdam officially.
All right, Chris, okay, what Matt, did we say?
We said St. Petersburg. I feel pretty confident that the Hermitage is a big like museum complex there. So yeah, I think of St. Petersburg.
And the great leader would probably be Peter the Great, something along
right,
those lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And Ken, you should have stuck to your guns. It is, in fact, St. Petersburg. Yeah. And yes, the clue did reference Peter the Great, who founded the city in 1703. All right. Question number 9. In 2013, the internet had fun parodying the chorus of what Taylor Swift song? Various clips on YouTube replaced Taylor's O with a goat yell, an auto paper towel dispenser, a rabbit yell, a man crying, and Chewbacca.
We can lock in.
I have no idea. I'm just dying here in my own thoughts.
You should be the Swiftie. Between the two of us, you should be the Swiftie.
Well, that's the thing. I should be the Swiftie, but I'm not really a Swift. I mean, she's fine. I listen to a lot of other pop music, so I should know this. But
what was that one called? The Young and the Restless. What about that one?
I mean, that's a soap opera. Did she have a song called that?
The Young and the Relentless. Well, I don't know what that one was.
I don't either.
Young and the Rentless. When you live with your parents.
Yeah, that's me. Except nice. 10 years ago.
Young and the Rentless. The
I'm
millennials.
Old and rentless now.
Yeah, Young and the Rentless. The millennial soap opera.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with. Shake It Off.
Shake It Off. Okay.
Yeah, when you started naming those early albums, I knew that you were in trouble. So shame on you, Neil, because you should know that this is Trouble.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
And the answer is, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. So Trouble is your correct answer.
That's totally right.
I'm glad you knew that, Matt, because I extremely did not.
Also me.
You've probably seen the meme, though, where it's like, oh, dun, dun, oh, and it was like
the goat scream.
I actually put it in the chat if you want to look at it later.
Great. Yes.
I will do that.
We'll put the link in the show notes for sure.
Okay, and then your last question of the first round. Passepartout, a word that means master key and can literally translate to go everywhere, is the surname of the faithful French valet in what well-known 1872 novel?
I don't think we could have pivoted further from my wheelhouse from the Taylor Swift question. So, all right. So you guys are locked in. I have no idea. So I am going to tee it up for Chris because you had lots of ideas and some of them sounded good.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit, and the name to me sounds French. I think they said the valet is French, and sounded like a traveling kind of thing. And so my guess with the time period and French would be Jules Verne's Around the World in 80 Days.
Mm. Oh, wow. That is a very good guess.
Neil did mention Jules Verne.
I didn't even know he wrote that, though. If I would have known that, I think I probably would have leaned that way. But
yeah, so we thought Count of Monte Cristo, probably not, because I know that book pretty well. Maybe Three Musketeers, because I don't know that book as well, though I have read it in the past. So we said Three Musketeers.
Well, Chris absolutely nailed it, especially the clue to go everywhere. This is the faithful valet to Phileas Fogg and Around the World in 80 Days.
I keep missing all these great clues Kenya's putting in here because
we're in a coma.
We're in a coma.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, after that awesome first round, it looks like Team Feats of Strength has not yet stood up to play the game because we're only at 40 points, but the airing of grievances is well ahead at 60.
All right. Well, speaking of Around the World, I have a swing round for you where you must name these world capital cities based on the clues that I provide to you.
Okay.
No.
So nice. Jeff curses us with not being here, and this is just torture for us. So we are excited for this swing round, even though we're not great at geography. Ken, just wanted to mention that you can talk to Chris and Kenya on all of our socials, basically. You can go to The Crop on Facebook, and Matt is there sometimes making some fun posts asking for people to play Pokemon Go with him. Or I believe there's a new Discord channel all dedicated to Pokemon Go. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, we got a little crazy with it, but a lot of people are into it. So add me on Pokemon Go. Let's catch some Pokemon.
Awesome. So if you want to join them and or just talk about the show in general, we have a Discord channel that you can get to, and we'll have that link in the show notes. Or you can just join us over at The Crop or on Twitter and Instagram at Triviality Pod.
All right. So once again, you are going to every question in this round relates to world capital cities. Question number one. The 2000 Outcast song, B.O.B., intended by the group to be an analogy for lack of dedication among music artists, was instead appropriated by many as a pro-war anthem 3 years later when the U.S. invaded the nation with this capital city. Mm-hmm. Question number two. Unlike the other Nobel Prizes, which are all awarded in Sweden, the Nobel Peace Prize is awarded from this city. This home of the Akershus Castle and Oscarborg Fortress was also the home to figure skater Sonja Henie and painter Edvard Munch. Question number three. The name of this capital city comes from the native word Nkran, N-K-R-A-N, meaning ants. It was the capital of the British Gold Coast between 1877 and 1957 and will be the host city for the 2023 African Games. Question number four. Aventine, Caelian, Capitoline, Esquiline, Palatine, Quirinal, and Viminal are features that form the geographic heart of this city. Question number five. In the Bible, Acts chapter 9 details the conversion of Saul, a persecutor of the disciples, to Paul the apostle. According to that chapter, Saul was struck blind by the Lord on the road to what ancient city, the oldest capital city in the world? Question number six. This southern African city on the Natwane River, home to over 400,000 residents, is served by the Sir Seretse Khama International Airport. Alexander McCall's novel series, The Number One Ladies Detective Agency, was set here as well. Question number seven. Al Nayan is the ruling family of this capital city, whose name means father of gazelle in Arabic. On the animated series Garfield and Friends, a recurring gag showed Garfield repeatedly and unsuccessfully attempting to mail fellow cat Nermal to this city. Question number eight. Let's make a deal. I tell you that this South American capital city, situated on the northeastern banks of the Rio de la Plata, has been ranked number one for quality of life by Mercer since 2005. And you tell me the name of the most gay-friendly city in Latin America. Question number nine. Mbabane is the administrative capital, and Lobamba is the legislative capital of what nation which, when mispronounced, sounds virtual instead of real? And question number 10. Thanks to musical artist Psy, we now know that Gangnam-gu is an upscale, modern, and stylish district where everyone wants to party. In what capital city?
All right, we'll mull these over and we will be back with our answers.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police,
like she should have, exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
After that great swing round that brought us around the world in just a few minutes, not 80 days, we are all locked in. So let's hear those clues one more time, Kenya, and we'll give our answers.
All right, question number one in the swing round. The 2000 Outkast song, B.O.B., intended by the group to be an analogy for lack of dedication among music artists, was instead appropriated by many as a pro-war anthem 3 years later when the U.S. invaded the nation with this capital city.
Okay, so this one was one of the easier ones, I think, and we said Baghdad.
Yep, we also said Baghdad.
Absolutely, B.O.B. stands for Bombs Over Baghdad. You are absolutely correct. Your second question, unlike the other Nobel Prizes, which are all awarded in Sweden, the Nobel Peace Prize is awarded from this city. This home of the Akershus Castle and Oscar Borg Fortress was also home to figure skater Sonja Henie and painter Edvard Munch.
We went with Zurich.
We were thinking that this was Oslo.
And the correct answer is Oslo.
Man. I've been watching so many travel shows that I've mixed them up. I watched Oslo and Zurich right one after another, and that's why I'm not even lying.
I don't know. Maybe too much knowledge is not a good thing. all right. Number three, the name of this capital city comes from the native word Nkron, meaning ants. It was the capital of the British Gold Coast between 1877 and 1957 and will be the host city for the 2023 African Games.
Neil said he was pretty sure that the Olympics were going to be in Ghana. Couldn't get much further than that, so he just said Ghana.
Capital of Ghana. This fortunately, we came across this after brainstorming for a minute, but I believe the capital is Accra.
And yes, Chris nailed it. It is Accra in Ghana. So you did nail the right country, but yes, that is the capital. Question number four. Aventine, Salian, Capitoline, Esquiline, Palatine, Quirinal, and Viminal are features that form the geographic heart of the city.
We weren't 100% sure, but thought these items that you mentioned kind of sound maybe ancient Roman, so we said Rome.
Chris was pretty sure that these were the seven hills of Rome.
And these are absolutely the seven hills of Rome. Good job. Question number five. In the Bible, Acts chapter 9 details the conversion of Saul, a persecutor of the disciples, to Paul the apostle. According to that chapter, Saul was struck blind by the Lord on the road to what ancient city, the oldest capital in the world?
When you say oldest, it rings a bell, and we said Damascus.
And yep, we also said Damascus, the road to Damascus.
And points all around, it is in fact Damascus. Question number six. This southern African city on the Natwane River, home to over 400,000 residents, is served by the Sir Seretse Khama International Airport. Alexander McCall's novel series, The Number One Ladies Detective Agency, was set here as well.
So I know the book series, and I know it takes place in Botswana, but I couldn't pull a capital city, so we just said Botswana.
Yeah, we had a hard time with this one, too. The only thing we could think of in South Africa was Johannesburg, and we think that that's not enough people for the population, but we said it anyway.
All right, and Neil, you did, in fact, nail the country. The city is Gaborone.
Oh.
All right, question number seven. Al Nayan is the ruling family of this capital city, whose name means father of gazelle in Arabic. On the animated series Garfield and Friends, a recurring gag showed Garfield repeatedly and unsuccessfully attempting to mail fellow cat Nermal to this city.
When I think of a cartoon, like picking a place to like mail somebody as a joke, I would think they would pick Timbuktu.
So we went with Abu Dhabi. This sticks out in my memory very strongly as there was like a crate that said Abu Dhabi on it. So that was our guess.
And absolutely, Garfield was always trying to mail Nermal to Abu Dhabi.
Wow.
All right, question number 8. Let's make a deal. I tell you that this South American capital city, situated on the northeastern banks of the Rio de la Plata, has been ranked number 1 for quality of life by Mercer since 2005. And you tell me the name of the most gay-friendly city in Latin America.
We just thought that Rio sounded right for this, so we said Rio de Janeiro.
Well, we were stuck between Buenos Aires and Montevideo, but we went with, I believe it's the capital of Uruguay, and said Montevideo.
So your clue in here was the beginning of the question. It says, let's make a deal, which was hosted for a long time by Monty Hall. And so the city that you're looking for is, in fact, the capital of Uruguay, which is Montevideo.
Good job, guys.
Question number 9. Mbabane is the administrative capital and Lobamba is the legislative capital of what nation, which, when mispronounced, sounds virtual instead of real?
Well, Matt gave a little chuckle when this question was read, so we kind of figured that maybe the correct pronunciation is like Eswatini, and if you say Eswatini, it sounds like you're like emailing it to somebody, so we said Eswatini.
Yes, we also went with everyone's favorite bit of recent trivia and said Eswatini.
And it is, in fact, Eswatini, or Eswatini if you pronounce it like it's a virtual country. And then finally, question number 10, thanks to musical artist Psy, we now know that Gangnam-gu is an upscale, modern, and stylish district where everyone wants to party in what capital city?
We said Seoul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we also said Seoul.
And everyone here has got Seoul. It is, in fact, Seoul.
All right.
Wow. So the team of airing of grievances played really well in the swing round, bringing their total up to 105 to go into the second round. And team feats of strength still finding their footing. We're at 65 going into the second round.
Question number 1. This 8-letter word is the name of a Pet Shop Boys single that peaked at number 8 on the UK Top 10 in 1986. A chain of Mexican department stores, and a roller derby league based in Yonkers, New York. This word could also be used to describe Naperville, Illinois, but certainly not the Mag Mile in Chicago or anywhere near it.
All right, so they are locked in. Chris, you had a thought on this one.
Yeah, just with 8 letters in Naperville, what comes to mind is suburban. Mm-hmm. So, not a lot of thunder on the other parts of the question, but seemed plausible to us, so that's what we went with, suburban.
We had a very similar discussion. For some reason, in the back of my head, Pet Shop Boys, suburban, but it really just felt fit the other clues about Naperville and Chicago, so we also said suburban.
And this is actually a little bit heartbreaking for me because I did not want this to be neg bait for you guys. It is suburbia.
Ah.
Yeah, very close. Well, question number 2. Speaking of suburbia, a certain suburb of Chicago is named after a certain town in New York, which itself is named after a historical region in the Gelderland province of the Netherlands. What is this name, which was also the name of the capital of the Dutch East Indies before it was renamed to Jakarta in 1942?
Matt, I got this one.
All right, then we are locked in.
Holland, is that Dutch?
Yeah.
There is a town here called East Holland.
Yeah. And probably one in New York.
Yeah. I'd venture to guess there's one in New York.
I'd be okay with that. The only other thing I was thinking of is like Lyons, Lyon, or...
Yeah.
But I'm good with Holland.
Okay. We'll lock in with East Holland. I guess we'll go with the Illinois version. We'll go East Holland.
And for us, I don't know where I ran into this, but pretty confident this is home of Fermilab Batavia.
Mm.
It is the home of Fermilab in Illinois. It is Batavia.
Man.
Mm. Good job.
I think I said a real Chicago city. I hope. Let me look that up.
All right. Question number three. The statue of Zeus at Olympia and the Temple of Artemis are ancient ones that are part of a defined set. Christ the Redeemer and Machu Picchu are two members of a new set, according to a worldwide poll conducted by a Swiss organization in the 2000s. What two words can be used to describe either set? One of those words should be a number.
Reluctant.
Yeah. Matt, I think this is going to be... These are seven wonders of the world, right?
That, yeah, and I think one is like seven modern wonders.
It's seven ancient.
It depends. Yeah, so I think seven wonders is the two words. I would agree.
So, sounds good to me.
And since these guys are kicking our asses so hard, I'm grateful that we agree with them. Seven wonders.
And points all around, the correct answer is seven wonders. Question number four. This antagonist in English folklore, who sometimes schemes alongside Sir Guy of Gisborne, is always referred to by his title, though modern film portrayals have given him various names. Alan Rickman portrayed him in a well-known 1991 film. Roger Rees played a parody version of this character in another film 2 years later.
We've quoted the movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's totally it. That's definitely it. Yeah.
Okay, we are locked in.
What are you thinking here, Matt?
I think that the parody version was from Men in Tights. I think this is Robin Hood, right?
So if the villain would be the Sheriff of Nottingham, then?
Oh, yeah. So we're looking for the antagonist, not the protagonist. So,
and that's a title, Sheriff.
Sheriff of Nottingham. Sounds good.
Yep, we said the same. What's the line that you like to say from that movie? The Alan Rickman line?
It's the spoon one, and it's escaping me right now. I'll cut your heart out with a spoon or something like that. Yeah,
absolutely. This is the Sheriff of Nottingham. Good job. And the Roger Rees character is called the Sheriff of Rottingham.
Nice. I love Mel Brooks.
It's your favorite filmmaker. Abe Lincoln.
Got him.
What? Abe Lincoln. No, the horse. His name is Abe Lincoln. Ken.
Okay.
All right. Question number five. This song, issued as a single by the Beatles in April 1965, became their seventh consecutive number one hit in the UK and their third number one hit in the States. According to 2005's A Hard Day's Right, the stories behind every Beatles song, John Lennon said the song described cards indicating a clean bill of health carried by Hamburg prostitutes in the 1960s.
We're locked in.
Ooh, Ken with the Beatles lock-in. I like it.
Was it a Beatles lock-in or a prostitute lock-in?
Oh, that's true. It could have been the prostitute lock-in. Yeah.
Man, I've got a thought.
Okay.
What I mean, this is thought? A bit... what about Ticket to Ride?
Oh, that does make sense.
It's a little,
I was thinking,
little cheeky there, but
I was going a little nicer and just I want to hold your hand, but I guess you can have a Ticket to Ride as well. I think we can lock in with Ticket to Ride.
Yep, pretty positive that this is Ticket to Ride.
And the correct answer is Ticket to Ride.
So that board game would be very different if it followed the Beatles.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. After five in the second round, it looks like feats of strength are up to 95, just haven't quite breached 100, and the airing of grievances are at 145.
All right, question number six. If you've ever successfully kept a houseplant alive, and I am not one of those people, you know it needs adequate sunlight and water, as well as carbon dioxide, to create the oxygen and energy it needs. What is this process called?
Okay, you got it. I think I know what it is, but I don't want to sound like an idiot. So we'll lock in with Ken's answer.
I don't want to sound like an idiot either because I have two things in my head and I'm forgetting which one's the right one.
It's not just photosynthesis, right?
I think that's it. I just I feel like this is one of those things where I have had the wrong thing in my head my entire life. But yeah, let's just go photosynthesis.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I don't want to overthink this one. Yeah, to make their energy, it's photosynthesis. I believe the oxygen is a waste product, though. I don't think they need it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we said photosynthesis.
All right. And yeah, good job on not overthinking it. It is, in fact, photosynthesis.
Oh, good.
I feel so much better now. That's what I was going to say as well. So
we need some points to wager in the final. So
that's true.
All right. Question number 7. Explorer Juan Ponce de León's tomb is on this island. Poet and writer Alejandro Tapia y Rivera is known as the father of this island's literature. Locals call their cuisine cochina criolla. Name this island the birthplace of actors Raul Julia, Rita Moreno, and Benicio del Toro.
I got this, Matt.
Good, 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 because I don't.
Okay. So Rita Moreno is going to be in, was in West Side Story. She's going to be in the new West Side Story. That has a huge Puerto Rican undercurrent. So I say we go Puerto Rico.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. That's my line of thinking. So yeah, that's what we'll lock in with, Puerto Rico.
Yep. My father-in-law is Puerto Rican. So I definitely knew this one is Puerto Rico.
Absolutely. The correct answer is Puerto Rico. Good job. Question number 8. What was the two-word name of the Cartoon Network anthology series that functioned as a showcase for international animated children's programming that aired on Sunday mornings from 1996 to 2002? Shows featured included Pingu, Old Bear and Friends, Christopher Crocodile, Miffy, Soup Opera, and Archibald the Koala.
Kids, we're going to talk today about my syphilis. Don't koalas have like disease or something, right?
Probably some.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I don't either. Is Pingu the little kid who doesn't have any hair who like runs around in sneakers and a backpack?
That's what's his name?
That is a cartoon though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no idea. So do you just want to say the International Fun Time Hour?
I would watch that. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a two-word answer. Did I hear that?
This is a two-word answer, yes.
We just multiplied by two.
International Fun Time is all hyphenated, so.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. Well, Matt, this is not my wheelhouse.
International
animated
sounds
planet, like, international.
Animated planet sounds good because that can be mean multiple things. And if it was like education or whatever, kids wouldn't watch it. I kind of like Animated Planet.
I was just straight off the dome. I'm sure it's not a thing, but I don't know. I got nothing.
It should have been called that. So we're going to say Animated Planet.
Oh, and yeah, we'll just go International Fun Time Hour.
All right. And unfortunately, no points here. The name of the show reflected how, even though these shows were produced very far away, they could be brought close to home because it's just a small world after all. So the answer is small world. Question number 9. The MPS is a governmental agency that was established in 1829 at 4 Whitehall Place and has moved 3 times since its founding. However, this agency is generally known by a two-word nickname that references the street that the rear entrance of the original building was located on. What is that name?
I think I might have a thought here, Matt.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll be on the same page. But
I bet we are. I got a feeling.
Okay, we're good to lock in here.
Okay, so they're locked in. We were both thinking that the MPS was British or English. So were we both thinking Scotland Yard? Does that sound right?
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree. And we're going to go in with Scotland Yard.
We also agree. We went Scotland Yard.
So the MPS stands for the Metropolitan Police Service, which was located on 4 Whitehall Place. Originally, and as I said in the question, it's moved several times since then. The original building had a rear entrance on a street called Great Scotland Yard. So the correct answer is Scotland Yard.
Nice.
Getting some points here.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling a little better about going into the final.
All right. And then question number 10, your final question of the regular game. What sweet nine-letter answer created by Eleanor Abbott in 1948 while she was recovering from polio fits the theme of today's game?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Uh-oh. Oh, I just got it.
Oh, good. One of us got
it. Yep.
Luckily,
I just got it.
Okay, we're locked in. So they're locked in. She said, what sweet invention, Eleanor Abbott, while she's recovering from polio. So all I have to go off of is she's probably immobile. So she had to have created something. She could have some sort of activity. And
well, she suddenly said that there's a theme to this game.
Yeah, so what do we have here for a theme? We got suburbia.
Wonders. Seven wonders. Wonders.
Sheriff. Nottingham. Batavia. Photosynthesis. Puerto Rico.
Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride. Oh, ticket. Oh, Puerto Rico and Ticket to Ride are board games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got, maybe we're thinking of a board game here.
Seven wonder, yeah.
Okay. Board game. And then
Suburbia. Batavia.
Luxor. Life.
Oh, no,
that's a
I
board
got
game.
It.
Oh, good. Okay, so this is helping. So we got the Game of Life, got the Lux of Pyramids, which is also, I believe, a game, some pyramid
game. Candyland?
Sweet. Yeah. I like that. She played Candyland. Yeah, that would make sense. Candyland's a pretty old game.
Well, we kind of picked up on all that, too. Chris, what did we say?
We also said Candyland, because these all struck me as board game names. So it fits the clue if it is sweet in nine letters.
All right. And so you guys have gone back and looked at all of the answers given during the game. In addition to that, if you go back and you look at the swing round and you look at the first letter of each of the answers, Baghdad, Oslo, Accra, Rome, Damascus, Gaborone, Abu Dhabi, Montevideo, Eswatini, and Seoul, it spells out board games. So your answer here, and both of you guys sussed this out correctly, is in fact Candyland. Good job.
That could have been really helpful.
I know. I didn't even think of that. That's, man. All right. Going into the final round, the scores are slightly closer, so I think the wagers are really going to play a part here. It looks like team Feats of Strength are at 135. And team Airing of Grievances are at 175. So right before we throw it to Kenya to get those categories, just want to let everyone know you can join us over at Patreon if you'd like. We have a lot of extra audio content as we talk about that you can listen to, whether it's the more trivia-based fun monthly bonuses or the crop drop where we answer literally anything that you want to ask us. And we'll talk about it in detail, perhaps a little more kooky than normal because it's after hours. So you can join us over there, and you can also get some perks like stickers and posters and boxes and other things that Judy Garland would sing well if it was a song in Wizard of Oz. So if you'd like to join all of our patrons and help support the show to continue to grow, you can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. What are those categories, Kenya?
Your final round categories are Monopoly, Olympic Edition, Monopoly, Musical Theater Edition, Monopoly, Sneaky Bastards Edition, Monopoly, Sanctioned Violence Edition, and Monopoly, Real Life Edition.
Okay, all the wagers are now locked in. Let's get the questions.
All right, your first question in Monopoly, Olympic Edition. Monopoly will license their name to almost anything, which is why there are over 300 different versions out there. In fact, they created a Centennial Olympic Games edition to celebrate which Summer Olympics, the last one to be held in the USA. Please provide the year and the location in your answer. Monopoly Musical Theater Edition. It is widely known that the Monopoly properties were named after streets in Atlantic City, New Jersey. One of those streets, St. Charles Place, no longer exists. A casino now stands at that location with what name, which is also the name of a 1927 Kern and Hammerstein musical. The part of Joe in this musical was specifically written for Paul Robeson. Question number 3, Monopoly Sneaky Bastards Edition. What British board game manufacturer, who once held the rights to publish Parker Brothers Monopoly in the UK, helped the Allied forces by publishing special editions of the game to ship to prisoners being held by the Germans? Hidden in these Monopoly sets were maps, compasses, real money, and other escape aids.
I didn't check it.
Question number four, Monopoly Sanctioned Violence Edition. According to numerous websites and a very unscientific online study, Monopoly is the board game most likely to cause fights during game night. It therefore makes sense that in 2012, a special collector's edition of Monopoly was released featuring characters and themes from what classic fighting video game franchise that dates back to 1987? The player tokens include a wrist cuff and a mask, and the houses and hotels have been replaced with training rooms and dojos. And finally, question number five, Monopoly Real Life Edition. For over 100 years, one system of companies held a vertical monopoly over telecommunication products and services in most of the U.S. and Canada until its breakup in 1983. This system of companies was colloquially known by what familial name?
All right, we will think about these answers and we'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
All right, we are all locked in here, so let's see how the cookie crumbles, as they say. As Neil says, at least. All the time.
All the time, yeah. Probably just because of Jim Carrey and Bruce Almighty and his sign-off.
All right, here we go. So, question number one, Monopoly Olympic Edition. Monopoly will license their name to almost anything, which is why there's over 300 versions of it. In fact, they created a centennial Olympic Games to celebrate which Summer Olympics, and I need the year and location.
We wagered 5 on this one. We weren't too confident with the Olympics clue, but we believe this is the 1996 Atlanta Summer Olympics, so that was what we locked in with.
Yeah, we wagered 20 on this one, and this will be the last one until 2028 when it's coming to Los Angeles. But I just watched the American Crime Story on this, Richard Jewell, the Atlanta bombing. So we said it was 96 in Atlanta.
And points all around. It is, in fact, 96 Atlanta Games. And I do have that Olympic edition on my shelf, among other monopolies up there for no reason whatsoever. question number two was Monopoly Musical Theater Edition. I am looking for the name of the casino that stands where St. Charles Place once stood in Atlantic City that shares a name with a 1927 Kern and Hammerstein musical that had a part specifically written for Paul Robeson.
We wagered 30 on this one. Ken initially said possibly Carousel because it does sound like a really good casino name, but I know that that was Rogers and Hammerstein. And Kenny was asking for Kern and Hammerstein, but we thought the time period made sense for this one, and we believe it is the show where Old Man River comes from. So we said Showboat.
That sounds like better answer than we have. We wagered 10.
Yeah.
Neither of us big musical guys, right? Nope. So we just said Cabaret.
Cabaret takes place in the future war of World War II, right?
Correct. The future war.
Yeah.
And Paul Robeson is very well known for his rendition of Old Man River, which takes place on the musical Showboat. So good job. Question number 3 was Monopoly Sneaky Bastards Edition. I'm looking for the name of the British board game manufacturer who helped the Allied forces by sneaking maps, compasses, money, and escape aids into UK editions of Monopoly.
Is this just a box full of files?
Ken, what was your thought on this one? We wagered 20.
My thought is that we know 3 board game companies, Parker Brothers, Milton Bradley, and Hasbro. And we picked one that's not Parker Brothers because it's in the question. And we said Milton Bradley.
One of my favorite clubs of British. All time. We wagered 30. No idea. Chris, what did we lock in with?
Something that randomly bubbled up from my brain. I don't know how or why. It probably will sound ridiculous, but we ended up going with Selcho and Ryder.
And unfortunately, no points on this question. This was probably the most difficult question of the entire set. The name of the company was Waddington's. They had a reciprocal agreement with Parker Brothers to where they could publish Monopoly in the UK. And in return, Parker Brothers could publish Clue here in the United States. And they actually hid those materials inside of the game material. So it wasn't like you just opened the box and it was a box of files. It had to be able to pass scrutiny by the Germans. It was actually embedded it within the game board and other materials itself.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So you just had to bore the German soldiers from not wanting to play the game.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Question number 4, Monopoly Sanctioned Violence Edition. I am looking for the limited edition or the collector's edition Monopoly game that was released in 2012 that features characters and themes from a classic fighting video game franchise that dates back to 1987.
87 seems a little early for this franchise, but Street Fighter 1 only had 2 characters, I believe, and it was like early renditions of Ken and Ryu, but we said Street Fighter.
We wagered 30 and we were thinking the same thing, the cuffs being Ken and Ryu's cuffs and then the mask being for Vega, I believe. So we said Street Fighter.
What do we wager?
20 points.
Okay, so in this particular edition, the cuffs belong to Chun-Li and the mask belongs to Vega, but it is in fact Street Fighter. All right, and then your final question, Monopoly Real Life Edition. I'm looking for the name of the system of companies that held a vertical monopoly over telecommunications products and services in the U.S. and Canada until its breakup in 1983.
I'm not too good at real life, so we only wagered, what?
20.
20. We couldn't come up with this with a familial name, so we just said Bell.
We wagered 30, and hearing the familial part actually makes me more sure of our answer. Chris, what did we lock in with?
We went with Ma Bell. I feel like I've heard it referred to as that before. So yeah, Ma Bell.
And the correct answer is Ma Bell.
So ours isn't good enough?
Not good enough.
Unfortunately, no, it doesn't fit the clue, specifically looking for the familial name, which would be Ma Bell.
All right, well, the final scores are in. It looks like Feats of Strength just couldn't walk their way to the top. They're ending the game with 150 points.
We fought, though.
We fought. We tried our hardest. But today's cream of the crop with 215 points is the team of Chris and Matt of Airing Grievances. So congratulations.
Cream of the crop.
Yeah, no grievances to air. I love that game, and I love winning, thanks to my partner, Chris, who is doing really well today. So great job.
Yeah, Chris, you said you were a little nervous about, performing well on the podcast, but you were crushing us the entire game. So great job.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I do feel like something about the live environment makes my brain go like at 75% speed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it definitely the way that Ken and I performed today, the live mic definitely had a... See, I can't even speak words right now because that's what it's doing to me. But Chris, thank you for joining us today and for supporting us on Patreon. Anyone you'd like to give a shout out to or any final say on your end?
I'll give a shout out to my wife, Emily, also a fan of the show. Contribute to things that you like, such as this podcast or anything else creative. And go see a show. Go throw some money out there.
Yeah, thanks so much. And yeah, let's do a trivia sometime since you're local, okay?
Hell yeah.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Yeah, and shout out to Emily. So thank you for listening to the show as well. And Kenya, these questions were so well written. It had a theme that we didn't even know existed until the end of the game that we should have paid attention to. And you just did a wonderful job, and it was so nice to have you back. Anybody you'd like to shout out to or anything else you'd like to say today before we let you go?
Yeah, a couple of things, and thank you for the compliments. A couple of things. The first thing is that I host a small informal trivia game on Monday nights. And you can find out more about it if you just go to facebook.com/lanyaptrivia, which is LAGNIAPPE. That's a throwback to my hometown of New Orleans, where we use the word lanyap to refer to something like a little something extra or a little bonus. So facebook.com/lanyaptrivia. The timing is pretty bad because by the time people hear this, I will be on summer hiatus. But I will be coming back in September with new games. So if you want to just bookmark that, check it out, that'd be great. And that's a totally free informal game. The second thing is I want to thank my game testers. I got some very helpful feedback from two names that you guys should know well. That would be Addie Lewis and Adam Holquist. And they did test my game out for me and gave me some very helpful feedback. So thank you so much to those guys. And that's pretty much it. Just other than that, just, you know, be good to each other and put some positivity and kindness out in the world.
All right.
We can definitely echo that. Yes. And thank you to everyone who playtests games for a host. We really appreciate it. We know there's a great community now of people on Crop and Discord doing that. So thank you all for raising your hand to help out and keep our games fresh. No Planeteer questions for Matt, so he's not angry. But thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Ken, how's Jeff doing? We don't know. He's in a void.
He's in a void, but he'll be punished later.
Okay. We'll punish Jeff later, everyone. Don't worry. But thank you to Kenya, Chris, Matt, Ken, and for Jeff, who will be punished later. My name is Neil, and that was Triviality. I'm just a cheerleader. No. Oh my god! I'm having
oh my god!
I'm having a meltdown.